Let's open our Bibles, Romans chapter 9 tonight, and we're going to begin in the sweet testimony of Brother Paul and the testimony of his great love to the nation Israel, to his Jewish family, in a sense, his natural family. And at the same time, God, through this testimony, is going to reaffirm and drive home the beauty of the meaning of the elect of God. And brothers and sisters, we are the elect of God. It's so wonderful. And I thank the Lord for that. But see, the election that we really have to understand, and the only election there is all in the new creation. That election, praise God, is always in the new man. And that new man is born one way, and that is by grace. And that grace is only through faith in Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord that that is the unity of the Spirit. That is the bond of peace and perfectness. That, praise God, is the oneness in Christ. I thank the Lord that that is our rejoicing. I thank God that the simplicity is the brother prayed of the gospel of Christ. What's it so hard to understand when he says, I'm the head and you're the body? Praise God. I'm so thankful that I think about this head that kind of governs this body. This head, I'm going to tell you something, is very thankful for every piece of this body. This head is very thankful for these legs that are able to walk this body, and these arms and different things and hands that do this and do that. And then every joint and vein that supplies all these things that you don't even see. The little parts that are so incredibly, vitally important that may never be seen, may never be appreciated in a lot of ways. I'm going to tell you something. This head appreciates every single one of them. And isn't that our Lord? Isn't that wonderful? But see, sometimes that knuckle don't think about that little vein that runs over here from there to there. And you know what I'm saying, and that type of thing. God help us to appreciate the body of Christ. And thanking the Lord, it's just what it is. It's his body. Isn't that wonderful again? It's all him. It's all in that new creation. It's all, praise the Lord, the Son of God who is our rejoicing. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 5 of the 9th chapter. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And thanking the Lord that as we begin here tonight, again, Paul is, by the Holy Ghost, is establishing a testimony here. And the testimony is the sincerity of his love for his kinsmen, his brethren, in a sense, of the flesh, Israel. And this is so familiar to a statement that's made by Moses to the Israelites as well, too, over in Exodus chapter 32. And I'd like to read that to you. In Exodus 32, verse 31 and 32, Moses says, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray, out of thy book which thou hast written. Now, that's love. And that is something that only can be revealed and placed in a heart, brothers and sisters, and made known by the Holy Ghost. And it is so evident that only the Holy Ghost can bring and to shed abroad that kind of love and that kind of testimony that Paul is expressing here for Israel. And I thank God, as I hear prayer requests often in this meeting, we understand the Word of God says to pray for Israel. But there is a love that God gives us that's a special love for the Jew. I pray you have it. I mean, your heart, because it's the heart of God, it kind of wrenches, you know, because you know the Word of God. You know what God gave to Israel. You know what every life means to God, that He gave His only begotten Son. But there is something about the Jew. And I thank God for the privilege in my life to be so associated with so many Jewish people. They've been so close to me. I've testified many times. And God willing, I hope to see a man who is so dear to my life. His name is Arthur Schimmel. Here in the next couple weeks. And I know God divinely has spared his life. Two of his children have accepted Christ as Savior. I can only pray and pray fervently, Lord, let him know. Let him know. Let him want to know. Because I know the Lord wants him to know. But let him know who is his Messiah. And pray. And thank the Lord again for the reality. You know, like I say, you walk through those doors tonight, and it brought home again the reality even more so. Just always strengthening in my life. But this is my life. Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. And the people of God, the body of Christ. And thanking God again as you do come in contact with people, and especially the Jewish people, there should be a moving in your life. And you know how this world has gone. The moving in most people's hearts towards the Jew that don't know the Lord is hatred. Isn't that interesting? I wonder why that is. Huh? I always remember that guy said, well, I'll tell you what, I know there's a God. The guy said, well, how do you know? He says, well, I'll tell you what, when you can explain to me the Jew's hatred for the Arab and the Arab's hatred for the Jew, besides what God set up, then I'll listen. And that guy just sat there quiet, couldn't say a word. He said, see, told you so. And that was about it. But how wonderful. But as we read this here too, you know, you have to think about the change in Brother Paul. See, this was the man who once lived to condemn. Think about who Paul was. He was the man who lived to judge and to be puffed up above others. And yet now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And listen to this, because this is a testimony to our own lives. Is we want growth in the Word of God. Well, let me tell you something. The power of the Holy Ghost, He causes us with the love of God to condescend. Grace, praise God, makes us lowly. Amen. Grace, in a sense, it takes us down. I love it. Yes, grace lifts us up in Christ, but it takes us down. And I love that. Praise God. See, grace comes down, doesn't it? It always comes down. Remember Brother Hill always talking about that? It runs one way. It runs down. And I love that the grace of God causes us to be lowly. The grace of God does not cause us to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. The grace of God does not cause us to want to be puffed up. And I thank the Lord for the grace of God. And the grace of God caused Brother Paul to love with the very love of Christ, willing to give his own life, in a sense, for his natural people, the Jew, to be separated, to be abandoned from this, if they would just turn to know the Lord. So again, as this starts here, this is this expression of this great love, this love of Christ for Israel. Now, notice verse 4 here again. Who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises. Now, we could really spend some time throughout eternity talking about all this stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. Israel was divinely chosen of God. And man, did they get the goodies. It was wonderful what they got. The things that they were able to enjoy of the Lord. You know, you just go read that little story about how God took them out of Egypt. Isn't that wonderful, the things that He did, starting there with the plagues? Could you imagine sitting there and watching God come and do all these things and turning all that water into blood? And then finally, I'll tell you what, now, honeys, I'm going to pass over you, but I got to see that blood on the door. If I see the blood, I will pass over you. And they saw that. And then God saw how Pharaoh, all those years, he would never let him go and never let him go from Pharaoh to Pharaoh. No way. You're going to make brick for me. Okay, now get out of here. I'm going to let you go. And there they went. And there they moved. And there they were going to be cornered again. And God parts that sea and then has them walk across on dry ground. And all of those promises and time again what he did for them. But then, brothers and sisters, how God gave them that precious tabernacle and the sanctuary. And how all of the things that were performed by the priests and all of the types and examples and everything that all pointed to Christ. That was theirs. How wonderful to have that testimony that they knew that they were chosen of God, that they were God's, praise the Lord, elect people. It was divine. Turn with me over to Ephesians 2:12, and we'll read some of these things that are spoken of Israel. That at the time you were without Christ, this is again speaking to the Gentile here, Paul speaking to them, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. See, the Gentile, they didn't have the rights as citizens like Israel did of being the people of God, and were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. See, Israel was the only people that had God in the world. They had him. God came to them. He chose them out. He called them out. Listen to what he says over here in Deuteronomy. Let's go over to chapter 7 in verse 6. And this is what he says to Israel. This is what God made in them. And so wonderful how God divinely chose them for this. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. You're set apart to me. You're mine. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now that's what God had given to them. That's what God, praise the Lord, had chosen for them. But then as you go back to the 9th chapter in the 5th verse, now here comes the greatest of those promises. Christ Jesus, hallelujah, came through their line. Christ Jesus in the flesh, praise God, was a Jew. And praise be to God, that life who came through those fathers of Israel, I'm talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he was not only a man, but very God, a very God. That's the testimony they have. That's what was given, praise God, to them. And it goes on to say in that 5th verse, how do we know he's very God, a very God? Because he is over all. See, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is divine. Isn't that wonderful? He that has seen me has seen the Father. I am. Amen, praise the Lord. And there's many antichrists running around that'll tell you a lot about Jesus, but false things. Because the false things are everything but he is divine. Know that. Know the original. I don't need to know the counterfeit. That's why you just take them there. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, God, came in the flesh? Huh? Oh, they'll stutter and utter and mutter and putter and you'll know right away. He's divine. He's it, the only begotten Son. Hallelujah. That's whom we praise. That, praise the Lord, is the reason, praise God, that we are the elect of God, because again of that life that lives in us. But in all of this that was given to Israel, now you understand why there is such sore punishment and suffering like no other nation. Do you see that? All of the things that they went through at that time, going forward in time, not too long ago, back in the 30s, to think that a people would try to be exterminated in the 20th century from the face of the earth? Educated man all of those colleges and universities and all of that political correctness that they thought that was going on then, and yet they were going to be exterminated from the face of the earth. And yet, I'm going to tell you something, according to the Word of God, which is true, they haven't seen anything yet. If you ever have some time and you ever go to Washington, D.C., go and go see the Holocaust Memorial. Go see it. Amazing thing. How true the Word of God is. How those people suffered and how they were tortured and just exterminated. And just horrific. And no other people, none, throughout history. And why? Because of what we're reading right here. Because they turned away. And they rejected His word, brothers and sisters. And the Word of God tells us, and how it can be applied even in this, to whom much is given, much is required. Israel rejected the privileged status God so freely gave to them. Having eyes they see not, and having ears they hear not. And in the 12th chapter of John it says, because you have rejected me, he blinded their eyes to see. Now, thank the Lord for His mercy and grace. Because we read on and it says that God now stands, as it now stands, He's rejected them for rejecting His word, but God is faithful, and He says, but yet I will have a remnant. Isn't that wonderful? I will have a remnant. And that is truly why we pray for Israel, because that's what we're praying for. And really in that prayer, it's the prayer of, even so, Lord, come quickly, isn't it? Because we know that that time is coming. You look at those pictures of the Middle East, and you see how Muslim religion has built their big thing right on the where they're going to have Solomon's temple and all of that. You think, now, my goodness, how's that going to work? Well, I'm going to tell you how it's going to work. It's going to work in one big blow, and it's going to work, and God's just going to do it, and you're going to see Him do it with giant hailstones. You're going to see Him set a hook in their jaw. You're going to see Him, the I Am. Praise God. And I hope to see Him doing it with Him. Isn't that something? See, we're getting excited about ruling and reigning jointly together with Him. See, we're talking about that host that's with Him. See, I just, again, my hair's standing all up on my arms and stuff. How do you even express this stuff? Lord, I need a body like unto Your own. And then You give us the speech and encouragement to express it, praise His name. But I guess that's why we have the Holy Ghost, thank the Lord. But you see, this is testifying here, brothers and sisters, that God is going to have a remnant. And as it says there in verse 6, it says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. And we thank God for that. And here once again is this election that He's speaking of here, or from out of. So stay with me on this for a minute. Out of the nation of Israel, whom received and enjoyed the promises of God. This testifies, in a sense, of those. Remember, Israel, even after God took them protected them in the desert, the children in the wilderness, and yet some of those bones, they waxed in the desert, didn't they? And some went on in for the promise. It's compared, praise God, to that. And then you can say it like this. You have all Israel, but some are natural in Israel, and some are spiritual. And again, the spiritual is always through the blood. Now let's read verse 7. I think this will really nail it down for us. Praise God. Neither because they are of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now you see, Abraham, brothers and sisters, was the father of two different lines. We know that. He had Ishmael, and he also had Isaac. So he was first the father of Ishmael. Ishmael speaks of the fleshly line. It speaks of the son of the bondwoman who was cast out. But he was also the father of Isaac, the father of the promise to all them that believe. And Isaac represents to them whosoever will believe, praise be to God, they receive that precious seed that we read of here, which is in Christ, and it's in that seed that all blessings are realized. Now, we spoke of this even back in the third and fourth chapter, and it was a real rejoicing. But why did the seed only come through Isaac? Well, it's because of sweet Sarah. Sarah's womb, her dead womb, speaks of grace. Isn't that wonderful? See, it speaks of grace. And it had to be the dead womb. See, the promise, brothers and sisters, could only come through death. Isn't that precious? Complete death. Had to be no strength, nothing of ourselves. Abraham and Sarah were literally dead in their ability to bear children. And the death of the flesh is required. And brothers and sisters, this is such a precious type of the promise that that would come through the death of Christ to all them that would believe everlasting life. There's your promise. And how precious this is, again, that God had set it up this way. Isaac speaks of the new creation. His precious life speaks of the new creation. He came through the dead womb. He was birthed by grace. That promise was passed on to Jacob, whom God named Israel, the father of the 12 tribes, as opposed to Jacob's brother, Esau, right? Esau, who speaks of the flesh, and that is why when they were grown up, brothers and sisters, Jacob's life manifested grace. Amen, it did. Jacob should have been put down many a time, but his life manifested grace. Over and over, through all of his bumblings and stumblings, and not trusting God, that magnified grace. See, that really bothers some folks, doesn't it? Well, I just want to see him yielding to God. Well, sure you want to see people yielding to God, but God shows you divinely that, let me tell you something, as we're going to read, I'm going to have mercy on whom I'm going to have mercy. And I'm going to be gracious to whom I'm going to be gracious. And you know who that always is? It's the new creation. Always and forever. That's when you really begin to love him and praise him and thank him and rely completely on him. Isn't it wonderful? Is that light becomes just so apparent and glowing in your life? That, Lord, you just love me because Christ liveth in me. That's it. It is so simple. I'm preferred. I'm called out. I'm chosen. Praise God, because it's in the election in Christ, in that new creation. So it's wonderful, brothers and sisters, what we have here, because Jacob, again, his life manifesting grace. Esau's life manifested flesh. See, he was, in a sense, he was the man's man. He was the guy that really had looked to get something done. He's the guy that could get it done. He was the one that might have been, well, to be honest with you, probably was admired. Well, shoot, he was admired naturally by his father. His father, Isaac, was going to give him the birthright. It was for him, naturally speaking. But God, see? Do you see how but God isn't man's choice? Do you see why that just burns man? Do you see that fight that Paul's talking about? That's that same fight in you and in me? That fight of principle all the time? That fight of my ugly self-righteousness all the time? Yep. Puts me on my knees all the time. Praise the Lord. But see, Esau manifested flesh. And boy, the epitome of it, when he despised the promise by selling his birthright for a mess of pottage. See, he despised it. Maybe even thinking, well, I'm such a man, I'll go out and make my own way. Let me tell you something. When God gives you something, just take it. Shut up. Be thankful. Take it and run. It's so wonderful what God has prepared for them that love him. Let's go ahead and read verse 13, what comes of that. As it is written in Romans 9:13, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. All right? Now see, God says that later on in their lives. But God foreknew. Yes, he did. He knew exactly what was going to be because he's God. But again, these choices are made. These actions are played out. God would that all men be saved. But there's going to be the majority of men that are going to go after the flesh. They're not wanting anything to do with grace. They're not going to go that way to bend that knee, to bow, praise God, and to surrender to the simple, precious way by the blood. And God, brothers and sisters, always rejects the old creation. Do you know that? Always rejects the old creation. Do you see how people get that, sinners is what I'm talking about, so critical of the Word of God? Oh, they're critical. Just ugly, hateful. But see, that's not. It's not flesh and blood. It's just that spiritual wickedness, and we understand that. They try to get in there and say, oh, well, God's not a loving God. The Bible's not a Bible of love. Look, he would take out children, and he would take out all the women, and when they went into battle, he'd just wipe them all out. Well, sure, he's God. I just am still having trouble as we're going to get to that verse. What don't you understand? He's going to magnify his son. Period. That's it. You can go running around in your what you think is goodness, and it's just utter abomination to God. But he's going to magnify, and always his magnify. I'm going to magnify the Lamb. That's it. The Lamb. Has to be that blood. Has to be that sacrifice. From the very beginning with Cain and Abel, bring me the Lamb. Bring me that sacrifice. Bring me that blood. Don't bring me the works of your hands. Don't bring me the sweat of your labor. Don't bring me any of your hard work, good intentions, any of those things. That's an abomination to me. I'm going to give you my only begotten Son. That's all I rejoice in. That's all I require of you to rejoice in. You want to grow up into him in all things? Rejoice in that grace, period. And you'll grow up all the way. You give him all the praise. You go completely by God's grace in that absolute surrender. That's all I'm looking for, is to praise my Son. That's simple. That's wonderful. And as you read the Word of God, and as the Holy Ghost takes the love of God and sheds it abroad in your heart, you want to praise him. You want to thank him the more. You want to come to church, believe it or not. You want to read your Bible. All of those things. And you stand back and you're just amazed at the new man. And again, you talk about that out of body. And thank God he's in my body. And he lives in me. And praise God, he's beginning to reign. And I love this. But see, the efforts of the flesh are just abomination to God. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Look what it says there. Wonderful stuff. Now, and this is Paul here, kind of giving the wrap-up here. Let's go back to verse 1, actually, in verse of chapter 3 of Philippians. It kind of is send-off here. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Now here it is. Beware of dogs. Beware of the manipulators. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. What he was speaking of there is exactly what we were talking about. Beware of those that want to disguise that somehow the flesh merits favor with God. Legality, pious, man's religious abomination, works of the flesh. By the works of the law, the flesh, no flesh shall be justified. How much clearer does the Word of God could it be? It can't. It's the Word of God. We are justified by faith. Faith, by faith. Faith pleases God. Believing in the Lord, hallelujah, is what pleases God. Now, listen to verse 3. For we are the circumcision. Praise God. New, the dead, hallelujah. That old has been cut off. Which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And here we go. Have no confidence in the flesh. Wow. You talk about the good fight of faith, huh? But we're learning, aren't we? And you know one of the evidence, greatest evidence of learning this, and this is beginning to work effectually in your life? You rejoice. You're joyous. The freedom. You can't explain it, but it just bursts out of you. You're just so grateful to God that I know that I am His workmanship. I get in that rocking chair of grace, and man, do I take big rocks in that thing. Woo! Oh, He's got me, molding me and making me after His will. How wonderful! How wonderful. You just grow. The lily doesn't toil. It just grows. Isn't that wonderful? And He arrays you and clothes you and all of those things. But the best part of it all, brothers and sisters, it's because and it's all with the life that lives in you. Little lords of all. You got it all. We're learning that. Yeah, we kind of knew it. But now it's getting down deep. And it's being tried all the time. But thank the Lord that greater is He that's in me. Greater is He that's in me. And I thank God that we're feeding that life more and more. Amen. Yea, the deep things of God by His Spirit. And this is how that precious transformation comes forth. And know this, that nothing has nor will ever change the election of God, the favor, the sonship. It's always and only in the life of His Son. I love reading this verse to many people. If you go over to 1 Peter in the first chapter, and in the 18th verse, it says there in 1 Peter 1:18, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers." Isn't that something? I love that kind of stuff. What he's just getting at here is you can take all that religious hooey and you know where to file it in that round file because it's all trash. All right? But here's how we were redeemed: with the precious blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you, for you, for me. Isn't that awesome? He did it for me. Who by Him, one of the most beautiful verses, they're all so beautiful, who by Him do believe in God. See, you cannot believe in God without Jesus. You cannot. You cannot call upon God. You cannot believe in God. That's elect. That's why I say there's but one faith. There's many religions. But don't get caught up into that. And that is something that you need to stand for. There are not many faiths. There is but one faith, and that is in Christ Jesus. All right? Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Isn't that something? See, again, for faith and hope to be in God, it has to be in Christ. Can't be any other way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for you. Now, Christ liveth in us. Amen, amen, amen. And that is why, praise God, we are the elect of God. Pure grace through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we rejoice in that life. We give thanks in that life. I thank God that that is our reliance. Praise God, because it is our life. How could I rely on any other life if that's the life that lives in me? Isn't that wonderful? See, His life is my faith. His life, praise God, is my strength. And thank the Lord that it is the confidence in the life of Jesus Christ who lives in me that, praise God, He abides faithful. Isn't that something? I don't worry about me being faithful or not. I know I couldn't be. But the life that I now live, praise God, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's the same life that lives in every single Christian. Thank you, Jesus. You know, people look at me when I start to testify, that kind of stuff, and they're just like, you got to be kidding me. Well, you know what? I don't fret anymore. I don't. Because he lives in me. And I just let him live. And thanking the Lord again for his great grace. Now, let's go on. Verse 12. Kind of moving back just a little bit. But it says, the elder shall serve the younger. So here we have the old creation shall serve the new. And praise be to God. See, the gospel turned it all upside down. Isn't that something? And I love this. See, he came unto his own. And what happened? His own received him not. So he came unto that older, elder nation, Israel, and they didn't receive him. So he turned to that younger, the Gentile, and praise be to God, has God got a plan for us, brothers and sisters? And that plan is hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, that is living on the hallelujah side. And God help us to quit entertaining the lies that appeal to the flesh. See, lies appeal to the flesh. And lies will just again bring us the emptiness because they're not true. We are the elect of God. We are the children of the King. We are little lords of all. And praise the Lord that our time is coming. Our time is coming. Our day, as we have rejoiced many times in this place, has not begun yet. So let's just abide, abounding in the hope. Again, not a hope of an if, but when it will be, residing in the joy of the Lord. And what is that joy? His great love for us. His great love for us. See, that's the abounding. Hallelujah. And that is our strength, and we live, praise God, in the Spirit. That's it. And I thank the Lord for that. See, he just said it, and it's so. That's the word of God, and we just rely and depend upon, again, his exceeding and great precious promises to us. And then we'll go ahead and close this out with the next three verses. And I really think in some respects these are some of the most wonderful three verses, 14 through 16, in the Word of God. And every time I read 15 and 16 especially, I love to cheer in triumph of my Father, my God, Alpha Omega. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. See, and this really is getting at one of the most common rebellion kind of expressions of man to God and his plan. Have you ever had people say, oh, well, if there's only one way, if God really just is going to set it out that way, if God's not going to take me and I've been really good and he'll go ahead and take that guy just because of his belief in Jesus. I was watching a show the other night in a hotel room, and they had a prisoner, and he had murdered four or five people. And I was so thankful to God for that testimony. He said, I know Christ Jesus loves me, and I know that by the blood of Jesus I'm forgiven. And there was a sincerity, and it was so precious. And two of the ministers that ministered the word to him were right there with him. And boy, that reporter was just mad as mad could be. And he started to testify to that reporter. And that reporter got madder and madder as he could be. And it was something to see exactly what God was dealing with me in this Bible study, what was going on right there. See, that dirty self-righteousness, that absolute rejection of God's precious Son. The abomination to God of fleshly thoughts, brothers and sisters, that completely reject God's greatest love offering to man, his Son. That's the truth. See, the thief on the cross, thank the Lord for that testimony. Whether it was Saul falling upon, King Saul falling upon his sword, and as it was told beforehand, by Samuel, as he went to see the witch of Endor, he said to him, well, you and your son, tomorrow you'll be with me. Praise God for that testimony. Praise God for the faithfulness of God. Praise God that even in my unbelief, he abides faithful. Praise God. Praise God that we are the elect of God. Praise God that he cannot deny himself. Praise God for that, brothers and sisters. Thank the Lord. I do. I praise him. And it's in that absolute thankfulness, brothers and sisters, of his faithfulness that my life then begins to yield to God. It's not that it's my excuse to fail. It's my reason to praise him, as I've said that many times, and rejoice and receive more grace and divinely live the love of God in my life. See, people that don't want to go that way, that are Christians, they're afraid. There's a fear. Well, if I go that way, I'll just come apart and all of that. Well, maybe you need to come apart. I'm confident you do. You'll realize, you take that step of faith, brothers and sisters, and really begin to rely upon him. You'll find out he is the deliverer. And he delivers completely. And he does. He heals your diseases, all of them. And praise God for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. And so sweetly, Paul now responds in the same words that were given to Moses pretty much in Exodus 33:19. And I'll go ahead and read verses 15 and 16, and we'll close this up. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You imagine this. Moses was thinking some things, wasn't he? And God was setting him real straight. I am. I am. Has he had to ever set you down? Kind of pin your ears back? I am. Praise God, he is. All right, now. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And I love this, brothers and sisters. See, God will only magnify his grace. He's only going to magnify his grace. And what does somebody want to get about? I mean, his title is God. He's God. What don't you get about that? What basically is what you don't want to get about it. He's it. I am. Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. I'm thankful that I know him that way. Because you know how I know him that way? Because I know his son. Praise God. I love his son. His son is my Savior. Praise his name. And I thank God that he's only going to magnify his grace, magnify his son. He has made the way to him. Now listen to this. I love this. He's made to him, the way to him, in the most narrow way. Narrow is the way, isn't it? You know what that narrow way is? Grace. It's just grace. It's the narrowest of way. Grace. Can't mix anything with it. It's either of works or it's of grace. Grace. Narrow. And yet in that most narrow way, it's also the most and only free way. He has shut up all men to accept only his grace. There is nothing else. There is no other way. He has no mercy on the old man. Remember that. You know where all that winds up, don't you? Yep. My, oh my. He'll show no compassion to that old man. Man was completely judged. I love how Sister Bodie says this. And found guilty and executed on Calvary. Ooh, I like that. My Jesus took it all. Yes, he did. He paid it all. The ransom paid in full for the sins of all the world. All there. Praise God. Not one got by. And praise the Lord as it's summed up there in verse 16. Man cannot do anything. It's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that showeth mercy. I remember time and time again, Brother Hill, standing up here, if I could clip this pinky fingernail. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 1 Corinthians 13. If I had faith to move mountains, If I could speak with the tongue of men and angels, if I gave all my money to the poor, if I could understand all mysteries, but I don't have the love of Christ, it profits me nothing. Nothing. There would be no profit, no favor, no salvation, no mercy, and no grace. Without Jesus Christ, you've missed it all. Without the love, praise the Lord, and that's the only love there is. God, as it goes on to say, will only show mercy on us when we realize we don't deserve any at all. It's the truth. Yes, it is. He gives grace to the humble. The Word of God says He saves them of the contrite spirit. And then yet, in Christ, in that life that lives in us, brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful that I go boldly to the throne of grace in that life? And I say, oh Lord, but yet in Your Son, I deserve it all. It's mine, mine, mine. All is mine. What you think? You got it made. Just praise Him how made you got it. You got chills? I pray you do. You have Him. He's smitten.
Why do you toil and why do you spin when you know I love you?
Oh, hallelujah. Let's just stand and praise Him before we go. Thank you, Jesus. Praise.